The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is All Things Elite. Welcome back to All Things Elite. Load up the pod, man, it's on when we speak. Rich right here, let me warm it up for Austin and Floyd. Couldn't be no one but the boys. When it come to All Things Elite from the fan perspective, swear, man, it ain't no question. Hear from them first. Swear, man, they putting in the work. No, they had to get me for the verse. Social Suplex Network Zone. I was at a time in your headphones. Austin and Floyd on the microphone. Backing out on a rant, getting in the zone. Pulling up the show, give it 7 stars, you already know. Who else could it be but the show with the proclivity for a positivity? I'm gone.
Welcome, everyone, to the second episode of the Bracket Madness edition of All Things Elite. I am your host, Floyd Johnson, and joining me, as always, is Mr. Sir Sam Brown. Yeah, I'm going to call you Sir Sam every day. It's Sam Brown. I know I can call you Sam, but you are Sir Sam Brown. How you doing today, sir?
I'm very well, thank you, Floyd. It's great to be here on this podcast. We had a great conversation last week, and I was really excited to get back into this second one. I think it's fair to say we might have a bit of a different flavor today, though, Floyd. You can cancel the order on the big board
Yeah, we can fit in on a sheet of paper.
Yeah, an A4 sheet of paper will probably be fine for what we need.
A note card, maybe.
A couple of post-its.
Yes.
Look, but I'm happy to be here, Floyd. I'm very happy to be here with you. Because I think, look, as well as we are going to give, you know, where everyone tuning in would have seen the brackets, everyone's got the same opinion. And we are going to give it its dues. We're going to kick it to the curb a little bit. But I can see some positives in this, so I'm going to hope to bring those out after we give it some work. Yes. I'll hopefully bring out some positives that I can see in this tournament. And then we're going to get stuck into the matches because we've already had one match and it was quite good, quite enjoyable. So I'm looking forward to reviewing that with you. And then we've got a bit of a fun game to play at the end as well, don't we, Floyd?
Yes, we do. I purposely on this show, on the opening of the other show, it always says this is the show with a proclivity of positivity, right? This is not that show. Mm-hmm. We're gonna do
not
this show.
Today.
This show's a little different. That's why I don't put it at the beginning. So if you want, this is all our stuff's always a fan's take, but it's gonna be real, and you know I might not be as positive as Floyd usually is today. But before we get into all of that, I want to make sure you are downloading this show on Google or Apple Podcasts. I think Google Podcasts is going away, so we're going to have to update the intro. But please leave a rate and review. And if you're so inclined, click on the link to go to Social Suplex, donate us a little money. Austin is a struggling former student. Buy him stuff. You know, I'm cool with that. You can follow the show at AT Elite Pod. Then at Social Suplex is our podcast home. You can follow at Austin Sumowitz, at Floyd Johnson Jr., and hit him with your Twitter, Sam.
At Sir_Samuel.
Yes, he's a great follow, so make sure you're following that. But yes, we are going to jump right into the show. Before we do, Floyd,
also, if you want to chat to us directly, jump on the Social Suplex Discord server. I know there's a lot of talk out there about the toxicity of Twitter, and I've got to admit I kind of agree with it, even though I still am on Twitter and I've still got lots of friends on Twitter. But a great place to chat about wrestling is the Social Suplex Discord server. It just gets rid of a lot of the jerks, a lot of the dickheads, a lot of the wankers. You know, we still get in there. We still have some great debates. It's not just an echo chamber. There's still people who agree and disagree. There's channels for WWE, AEW, New Japan, other Puro. You know, you've got some good stuff in there about Stardom. And then you've got chats specifically for all of the shows we've got here on Social Suplex. It's a really fun place to check out, slightly slower pace than say Twitter as well. So if you haven't ever jumped into the Social Suplex Discord, well worth having a peek.
And if you're old like me, which I am old, it reminds me of the old AOL chat rooms. Very much that same yep. kind of vibe where you get a lot of different opinions and, you know, no one's really mean. You know, people have different opinions, but no one's just like mean or just trying to get people to click on their, you know, click on their bait. As we get in the show, I was going to say I had a working title of the show as March Madness. And if you are from...
So I wasn't ready for that point. That's right. Yes. That got me. I was not ready for that, mate. That was good.
Yes. I was really excited for this bracket. Like, insanely. Everybody knows. This whole show, the creation, was based on this tournament we were getting. And I can honestly say, because I got worked. The bracket came out on Friday during Rampage, and I was told all week by my friends that are much smarter than me that because the tournament got kicked to Rampage, as they put it, they were expecting it to be mid. And I was like, nope, I'm the proclivity of positivity. I was like, nope, you know.
We're the true believers.
Yes, I'm like, no, that is right. The minimum amount of teams that are going to be in this tournament are 16. And I was like, they're gonna give us a good tournament. They just want you to watch Rampage. That's what it is. Well, the bracket came up, and I'm going to briefly go over it. So it is a 10-team bracket. Yeah, 10-team bracket. Five teams on each side. So how it's done is there are three teams on each side that are in, and then there was a wild card spot for the fourth spot. So in essence, it's going to be like an 8-team tournament after the wild cards. So on the left side, you have Young Bucks versus Private Party, which is a rematch from the first ever AEW Tag Team Tournament where Private Party upset the Young Bucks. In the next one, you have the Undisputed Kingdom is third team, and then there's a wild card spot. Playing for that wild card spot is going to be the Best Friends in the Don Callis family, which, if you go by the graphic, it's going to be Kyle Fletcher and Will Hobbs. Now, on the right side of the bracket, at the top, we have the previous tag team champions, Two Sting and Darby, Ricky Starks and Big Bill at the top, who will be facing Top Flight. And then the third team is FTR. And then they have to, they're going to be wrestling the wild card matchup of the Infantry versus the House of Black, being represented by Brody King and Buddy Matthews. So that's what we got. And I would love to say the internet caught on fire. It didn't. And I think that's almost worse. It was just like womp, womp. It was like a thud. Now, you could go into our little social media groups, and we had our discussions about it. Me and Sam had our discussions about it. But largely on the internet, it went kind of unnoticed. Did you notice the same thing, Sam?
I didn't. I mostly noticed people shitting all over it and rightfully so, but there was that initial negativity towards it, and then people moved on really quickly. So I think you're right there, Floyd. It got like an initial, oh, I guess you fooled us with that one. I guess this is just a typical AEW tournament. This isn't like the Continental Classic. It's just a typical AEW tournament where there's eight teams and it's really obvious what's going on.
Yeah, and I woke
up. And then everyone moved on with their life.
And I woke up the next morning to a bunch of messages like Dave's like, what the fuck? And that's what all they did. He's like, the WWE's tournament is better than that. And I'm just like, I won't go that far. No, it is disappointing. Like, the first obvious admission, and me and Sam will talk about our obvious admission.
Before we get into that, sorry, Floyd, yeah. I just wanted to ask, because I'm to us uneducated people who aren't from the United States, with March Madness, one of the big things about it, right, is that They release the brackets and everyone's talking about it. Everyone's filling out their brackets. They're going, you know, there's like a whole week where people are just speculating and they know what the matchups are going to be and they're plotting out their brackets. They're discussing, they're, you know, thinking about what could potentially be. And that's like half the excitement. That's like half the joy of the tournament is like this period where you've got such anticipation and everyone's getting in on it. Is that right?
Yes. And to even speak to that, because we're doing this show perfectly, because the March Madness actual brackets dropped about 12 hours ago. The actual NCAA brackets with the 68 teams and, you know, you got the East, the West, you got all these divisions and you fill out the brackets. And the great thing is the actual tournament, there's some play-in games, of course, but the actual tournament doesn't start till Thursday. And then you get games all day. So literally everybody's going through, filling out their brackets, discussing between friends, picking the teams they think are going to upset. And it's this amazing thing that you like this experience is the 4 days up, because between today and Thursday at 11 a.m. Central Time, noon Eastern, anything can happen. You know, anybody can win the tournament for those 4 days. And that's all anyone's going to be talking about for 4 days. So, yes, you are correct in your assessment of that.
And that reminds me of like the vintage G1s, right? Like you'd have a Dominion, you would have in New Japan, the G1s, you'd have a Dominion, you'd have the announcement. And there'd be so much anticipation just around the announcement of who's going to be in this thing, who are going to be the 20 wrestlers. You know, this is before, you know, the last couple of years where New Japan has chucked everyone and their mother in and sort of ruin the exclusivity of it. But you know, this, you know, the late 2010s, you've got the announcement at Dominion, their second biggest pay-per-view. And people are like, one of the things that people are hanging off for on the second biggest pay-per-view is the announcement of the brackets. And they get announced and there's like always a surprise or two in it. And then you've got like a week or two of speculation to like list out and work out who's going to sit where, when the matchups are going to be. It's awesome, and it's so fun to do with your, you know, with your wrestling friends. You know, we just did a whole podcast last week sort of doing that sort of thing in our imagination with, you know, our imaginary list of teams, thinking of the possibilities that could be, booking, you know, random teams like Dustin Rhodes and Lee Johnson going on a fairy tale run. Floyd, did we get any of this?
We did not.
Am I getting the March Madness experience with this? Because I feel like I'm not. I really feel like I'm not.
No. This is another one of my word plays. This is more like March Sadness. like this is one.
You thought this through, mate. You thought this through.
Like this is one that you just announced during Dynamite, and it's not a big deal, right? It's like it really isn't, and I truly believe this, and you know. As a fan, if I had Tony Khan's ear as a fan, I would rather you under promise and over deliver than
100%.
And then over promise and under deliver. Like I went back and watched the Tony's announcement, like between like Friday and now, I watched his announcement and I was like, maybe I just heard it. Maybe I inflated what he said, and he really didn't make it seem like it bigger than this. No, he made it seem like it was going to be on the rewatch. He made it seem like it was going to be a big deal. He was talking about March, comparing it to March Madness, saying that it was going to be multiple brackets. Now, I don't know where you're come from, but multiple is more than two, right? Now, I guess if you count the play-in games as different brackets, then I guess you got four. But it just felt like you overpromised and undelivered. And the worst thing you want from your fan base is to not feel like you're getting what you were told you were going to get.
100%. I work in sales, right? Like, and I've worked in sales for a long time. And that... I nearly said overpromise, underdeliver, which is what TK's done here. But that underpromise, overdeliver thing is real. It's like a human psychology thing where, you know, if you are like super amped up for something and you think it's going to be the greatest, and then what's delivered is like something that's relatively normal or pedestrian, then that's actually going to be negative. You're not going to think about that neutrally. You're going to think about it negatively. Whereas if you've been, you know, promised something that isn't so great and then it over delivers, you're going to think about that positively. You know, you've got potentially the same results, but just because of the way that you approach it and the mindset you approach it with is a different, you end up with a different result. And in this case, yeah, like it was very disappointing when I jumped on to see this. Like, you know, so much it seems to be like a typical AEW. Gosh, that's if you know my history talking about wrestling, that little Freudian slip tells you all you need to know, right? Like, this feels like a typical AEW tournament where on either side, it's very obvious who's going to win. There's a bunch of teams that don't really matter, and there's a bunch of omissions that are just make very little sense. And there's teams that you can point out that should be in it, and they seem to be promoting even that aren't in it for no apparent reason. And let's start breaking it down on a you know, like an in-depth level, Floyd.
Yes. First team. I mean, every team in this group. You have the current, I'm just going through the teams. You have the Young Bucks, the two-time AEW Tag Team Champions. Of course they should be in it. Ricky Starks and Big Bill, they were the Tag Team Champions before Sting and Darby. Of course they should be in it, right? Then you're looking at Private Party. It's like, honestly, in my world, Private Party's in the play-in game, right? Top Flight, again, like, have they been really featured as a tag team recently?
They've been getting beaten by Private Party.
Yeah, so they're probably in a playing game. Like, in my world, Top Flight and Private Party are in the wild card matchup, right? Mm. So then you got the Undisputed Kingdom, obviously in. ROH Tag Team Champions, of course they're in. Then you got FTR. Now, this is going to be controversial. FTR should be in a playing game.
100%.
Their last match, they got effing dominated and tapped out in the middle of the ring in their home city. They should be in a play-in game.
Yep.
They shouldn't have. I know they're the two-time AEW Tag Team Champions. They're my favorite team ever. So understand this. But if you're looking at wins and losses matter, which I've been sold on since the beginning of AEW, they got destroyed in their last match.
Mm.
They didn't lose. They got beat at the same time. So even if you're trying to tell a story of redemption for AFTR, guess what? They're the two-time tag team champions, and they have to play in to get in. It makes sense.
And that brings up the most obvious thing that I think everyone saw when they looked at this bracket. Where is the BCC?
They just beat FTR.
Why are they not in this match? Like, why are they not in this tournament? So, why are they not, as a tag team, looking to just chew an absolute hole through, you know, the rest of the division, as they say they are, as, you know, the BCC's modus operandi at the moment is, you know, step up or get stepped on. Why aren't they going through this tournament stepping on other teams? They have a very winning record, you know, like Moxley just beat Dax in a singles and then they beat them in a tag match. They should be in this tournament, and it makes very little sense. I know there's like booking reasons as to why they're not in it, in that I saw people talking about John Moxley going into a match in Windy City Riot, but it doesn't make sense. And it doesn't make sense of FTR's booking in the matches against Moxley and Claudio, because what was the when we're talking about it, what's the reason that they, you know, that they've been built up, that they would have lost to Moxley and Claudio, two singles wrestlers, because they've got a It's something they've got to overcome. It's a mountain they've got to climb. And they're going to this tournament, and the mountain that they're meant to be climbing isn't there.
I mean, that just makes sense. What you're saying is just like when we look at it, it's like, and this is again a Tony situation, right? So as far as all I can tell, Sting and Darby was always going to win, right? They were always going to win, right? So you're looking past that match. So you know you have to do a tournament for your tag team titles. So you know that a tag team tournament is coming, right?
Yep.
So why would you then book basically the 2-1 seeds in the tournament to lose the match before the tournament?
Absolutely. I have no idea. It doesn't make sense. It does not make sense. Because FTR are coming into this, as you said, like... They should be having to play their way into it. They should be having to beat someone to get into this tournament because they just lost. Yes. Like they just got beat comprehensively.
It wasn't like a fluke. It wasn't like Moxley rolled them up. One got choked out and the other one was getting choked out at the same time. So what are we doing? Again, it just like it looks like there's no long-term planning in your booking. Because you booked the matches before. You booked the matches before to get to this, you know?
Or even just, so the Righteous had a video package on Rampage and they're not in the tournament. Like, they're not even in one of the play-ins. I why would you be promoting this team and, you know, why are they promoting themselves if they're not going in the tag team tournament for the tag team titles?
Yes. But, okay, I do have to give a little credit to AEW. Because this is probably the blackest tag team tournament ever. Because you got Top Flight, you got Private Party, and now, you know, based on, you know, you got the Infantry in there, you got Ricky Starks with Bill, you got Powerhouse Hobbs with Kyle Fletcher. Hey, this tournament is for us. One Nation Radio going to be real happy about this tournament. No, but I was just looking at it, and I was just like, there was no surprises, no shocks. There was like, it feels like you could have brought in a team from another company. Just this kind of stunt casting just to get some buzz behind this tournament. They just didn't do anything to make this a big deal. And it's like the biggest problem I have, and this is going to say everything you want to say about this tournament. I look at this tournament and I see FTR versus the Young Bucks. FTR, my favorite tag team. Young Bucks, my second favorite tag team. Not in AEW, ever. I've always said, you give me 2 weeks notice on FTR and the Young Bucks, and I'm going to be at the show. I am looking at a potential FTR and Young Bucks finals match. Now, I'm just saying potential. We're not giving predictions yet. But potential FTR and Young Bucks, and it has no buzz to me.
Yep, absolutely. And that's a shame. They should, because this is a match that should have so much hype to it and a great big tournament where they've had to like overcome so much and go through so many people to get there would give that buzz. Like, look how much buzz there was around like Kingston and Moxley because of what they had to go through in the Continental Classic. They had to go through so much to get there. Eddie Kingston had to come from behind so much. From, you know, after losing his first two matches, he had to come from behind. He had to throw, you know, he had to pitch a perfect round from then. But he managed to do it. And then what does he come up against? He comes up against his best friend, like his long-term friend. And the stakes are elevated because of what they've gone through to get to this prize. And, you know, like what FTR and the Young Bucks are going to have to go through is just feels so like almost a procession.
Yes, and any tournament you have, I think Takeshita needs to be in it. So I felt like it should be Takeshita and Powerhouse Hobbs. And it not being Takeshita makes me feel like I know who's going to win the match, right? I feel like this thing is pretty predictable and pretty chalk. Now,
100%. There's like one match where I'm, you know, a bit 50-50 on who's going to win in the whole tournament, the whole matchup. The whole thing. There was the way they structured it. The teams when they've got multi teams. So with you're right to call out the Don Callis family selection, but also the House of Black selection. They chose Buddy Murphy and Brody King. Now, I love both of those guys, but there's no question that having that particular formation of the two, and the week before also doing a promo segment between the infantry and FTR, it was so obvious what was going to happen in that, even though the infantry are meant to be going in as underdogs. It was so obvious what was going to happen because of the way they had booked the thing and because of the way they had formed up the teams and because, as I said, they, for some reason, did a promo segment between infantry and FTR in the week before and telegraphed that that was going to be a match.
Yeah, and the big thing is, like, when you're looking,
it was a great promo. I just thought of another thing. I feel sorry for the infantry because that was a great promo that they gave, and they deserved the hype that they were trying to build against FTR. But then it gets undercut by the way the tournament was structured.
And it's like when I look at it, you look at the House of Black. You brought that up. The House of Black. You have Malakai. The thing about AEW is everything in wrestling that happens is actually canon. So you have Malakai and Brody King, an actual tag team, the actual current tag team champions of a company, and they're not in you go with the other two in your tag tournament.
That's PWG
I thought I mentioned it last week. Yes, they are the actual PWG.
We got to go for the casual viewers here, Floyd, in case we got some casuals. Yes. We've got to lay it out for them.
The actual PWG tag team champions, and you go with the other two. What does that tell everybody? You ain't winning. You know what I mean? And it's just like,
yep.
You can't use the booking to show it's not winning. You know, like, who's in this situation? Kyle Fletcher and Will Hobbs, love you. Sounds like a great tag team. You ain't winning. You know what I mean? Because guess what? They didn't pick Takeshi and Will Hobbs. They didn't say Takeshi and Ospreay. They picked Kyle Fletcher, the guy that's going to lose, the guy that gets pinned, you know?
Mm.
And it's just like lots of talent in this tournament. I'm just saying it just feels, like I said, it feels predictable. As I go through, I'm going to go through my predictions real quick. You're like, but honestly, there's kind of Sam's predictions too. So actually,
can I give my one positive?
Yeah, what?
Can I give my one positive?
Yes.
We've kind of laid out that we think we know who the finals are going to be, and I think everyone who looked at that this whole thing knows who the finals are going to be. The one positive I can think of in this, and this will actually segue into our predictions well, is that it does lay out a good story for the two eventual winners. I would have liked there to be more stories kind of weaving through the tournament, as we sort of laid out last week. And there will be, I think, for Trent and OC. But apart from that, there's not really. But the two stories that there are going to be that sort of head towards the final are actually well thought out. So you've got the Bucks going over Private Party, as you pointed out. That's an inversion of the first tournament that they did for tag team titles, where the Bucks got upset by Private Party. So they're going to have to overcome that. Then you've got, that's like a mirror of what happened there. And then they're going to have to either beat the Best Friends or the Kingdom, who are two teams that they have a lot of history with. And then, of course, they come up against FTR in the final, most likely. And on FTR's side, they have to beat the Infantry, who House, we know it's the Infantry now, and we kind of knew, but even if it was House of Black, you know, that's a team they've recently had a lot to do with, and the Infantry, they set that up in the promo the week before, and then in the semifinals, most likely they're going to have to go over Starks and Big Bill, who are a team that beat them previously and for the title. So that is a really well thought out progression for those two teams, at least. That's my positive. Because you know what? It's worth pointing that out.
Yes.
Because that is actually quite, it's a good progression for those guys. It's just a shame that there wasn't more of that sort of stuff going on throughout the tournament. Or, you know, 16 teams where you've got like another round, which just like adds another level of that potential story, building extra hype. And this is, you know, this isn't just us, you know, because we're diehards. Like this would build up extra hype to the ultimate destination, which is the final for the tag team titles at Dynasty. It would make that feel bigger because they've had to go through more potentially, and if it's stuff that they've got history, they've had to overcome more, and it will mean more when they ultimately triumph over it.
Yes. So I completely agree with everything that you just said. Yeah. And so actually, let me do this because me and Sam's predictions are quite similar. So I'm going to do, I tend to talk a little longer than Sam. So I'm going to let you go first. Give us your predictions. So,
okay.
Yeah. Break it down for us.
So obviously I've got the Young Bucks going over Private Party in the first round to move to the semifinals. The wild card on that side of the tournament, Best Friend versus the Don Callis family, will pretty obviously, I think it will be Best Friends going over the Don Callis family, which brings us to the Undisputed Kingdom versus Best Friends. This is the one match that I was unsure about in the tournament before we get to the finals. I think it would be the Undisputed Kingdom. If I was to pick it, I would love for it to be Trent and OC to go into the semifinal match against the Young Bucks, so we can have that match between the Young Bucks and Trent and OC that I pitched last week, which is like a mirror of what happened against SCU, where the Young Bucks just brutally destroyed this tag team of that's beloved by the crowd and who they've got history with as a way of like really cementing just the despicable nature of them as heels. But I think it will be the Undisputed Kingdom, primarily because the Undisputed Kingdoms as a stable is on really shaky ground and can't really afford to lose too much. But so they're going to at least get to the semifinals, and they also are Ring of Honor tag team champions. So I would be cheering for OC and Trent in that situation, but I don't think they're going to win, unfortunately. And then on the other side of the bracket, you've got Ricky Starks and Big Bill against Top Flight. Pretty obvious that Ricky Starks and Big Bill will win that to set up the semifinal against FTR, who will be facing off against the Infantry. If you saw the Infantry win their way into this tournament, win their way into this match, I think it's pretty clear they're not going to be going super deep into this thing. So I think FTR would go over those guys. Then moving back to the semifinals, the Young Bucks to beat the United Kingdom. The Undisputed Kingdom, move into the finals. FTR to beat Ricky Starks and Big Bill into the finals. And then I had the winner, as I sort of predicted. That's actually the final we both predicted last week. And then we both predicted also the Young Bucks to win. Have you changed your mind on that, Floyd? Or is your bracket any different to mine? Or have you got any additional rationale to lay out?
Yeah, I just got to add some detail because it's basically the same. Of course, Young Bucks over Private Party. Now, the Best Friends and Don Callis family, of course, I think Best Friends win that match, right? But because Fletcher is a TV champion, I think that could lead to maybe Trent versus Fletcher for the TNT TV title. I mean, that's just
the ROH TV title.
So now we get to that's on that side. On the other side, Ricky Starks and Big Bill over Top Flight, of course. FTR over the Infantry. I do think the FTR is going to make the Infantry look like future champions. I think the Infantry is going to come out of that loss looking amazing. I think FTR is going to try to give them as much as they possibly can in that match. Well, then we go back to the underside. We'll have Young Bucks. So Best Friends versus Undisputed Kingdom, right? That's the one that you had a problem with. And I think it's clearly going to be the Best Friends because that's OC. Because that's OC getting his win back on the Undisputed Kingdom, who basically took his international title away. That's the little extra story there. He gets his win back against the Undisputed Kingdom. So you get him in the round against the Young Bucks. Of course, Young Bucks are heels. So you, of course, want the heels versus the face tag team. They screw over the Best Friends, and they're in the finals. On the other side, FTR gets their win back against Ricky Starks and Big Bill from losing the champion. Now you got FTR and Young Bucks at Dynasty. I think what's best for the tag team vision is a heel tag team as the champs. So I go Young Bucks because now you can build up. I don't care if it's the FTR. Top Flight, whoever you build, it's going to be a big deal when they eventually, when they face the Young Bucks and eventually beat them. I just remember the crowd pop when the Lucha Bros finally beat those dastardly Young Bucks. It was kind of amazing. So I do think Young Bucks is what the AEW tag team division needs right now. I mean, FTR is always great, don't get me wrong, but I think they need, you know, a strong heel tag team up top to build to an eventual face tag team, whoever you go with, that eventual tag team overcoming the Young Bucks, whether it's in a few months, maybe a year, you might even do a long run to reestablish the tag team titles as the important titles that they are. But I think the Young Bucks are the best team to put the belts on to establish that.
Great. Absolutely. Yes.
Now I want you to do this. So Sam, you have the pencil. And you want to make it the most interesting tournament ever. Do you book it any differently?
With the same people?
Same people, yes.
I think we've sort of laid out what we would do. I would change the people that are in the Don Callis family and House of Black tag teams to start with. Look, the biggest thing I think, this is what I think we could do, because with the teams that are in there, I think we've actually booked probably what's going to be the most interesting thing. And I think you're right. Now you've laid out your rationale for that Undisputed Kingdom over the best friends beating the Undisputed Kingdom. I think you're right, because I think that the semifinal being heel versus heel, even though I think you can do compelling heel versus heel matches in the right circumstances, when you've got, say, like a Minoru Suzuki versus Jay White, you've got like somewhat of a, you know, like a more dominant heel against a cowardly one, or two people trying to out-scoundrel each other. I think in this instance, having the pure face versus heel dynamic of OC and Trent versus the Young Bucks would, I think that's the biggest thing. I think that you're right, that will happen in the semifinals. If I was to get the pencil, the thing that I would make sure I'm doing to make this feel like a big deal, because we can't, like, you know, if I was to get the pencil from scratch, I would book a 16-team tournament, 24-team tournament, 32-team tournament. But we can't do that. We're stuck with the we're at the dance with this girl here. What are we going to do? The thing we're going to do is we're going to make sure that we have promo time, particularly once you get to the semifinals. So those semifinals should be built like big time matches. I want to see the Young Bucks and I want to see Best Friends and OC going face to face in promos, maybe sitting down with JR and explaining what's going on to set out the stakes, to set out how the Young Bucks are going to, you know, beat this tag team that has been trying and going for so long, and someone who they've got such long history with, you know, like particularly Trent and the Best Friends. They were in ROH together and at PWG together, and they've also got lots of history with Orange Cassidy, you know, from when they wrestled in Chikara. And this is a team that they've got a lot of history with and they can build up something with. And then on the other side, it's going to be a different tone, but you can build a lot between Ricky Starks and Big Bill against FTR. You can make that into a big time feel, because that's the rematch, right? Like, and these are guys that are all really good on the microphone, like Dax and Ricky Starks. Everyone knows they're great on the microphone, but Big Bill and Cash, they can hold their own as well. And you know, like, I think Cash in particular, very underrated on the stick. And they can, if they get promo time, to make it feel like it's a big deal, like FTR in particular have got something to prove against this team in the semifinals, and just getting through the semifinals is going to take a lot of effort and a lot of energy from them and a lot of dedication and a lot of heart and fire, that helps build up the tournament. And then it builds up the ultimate final, the finale, where they face off against, you know, these two rivals, the Young Bucks and FTR. I don't think they've ever had a perfect build to their matches, which is a shame, because I think their matches are pretty good, have been, you know, pretty good to excellent. And this isn't going to be the perfect build, but if you build up the stakes of the semifinals, it then builds up the eventual destination as well. So if I was to do it, that's how I would improve this tournament and make this tournament mean something when it could potentially become just a sort of another throwaway tournament that AEW's done.
Give me the pencil. This is what I'm doing. The Young Bucks side is pretty much scratch. You know, like, it's right. On the right side, this is what I would do. FTR and Infantry, FTR still wins. I have Top Flight upset Ricky Starks and Big Bill.
Huh. Right? Interesting.
I didn't have the Young Bucks beat Best Friends in the second round, but their match happens first. And because the Young Bucks have lost their two matches against the FTR, they don't want to face them. They then screw them over and Top Flight versus the Young Bucks at Dynasty.
Oh, nice. Yep.
Young team like versus new team. And the whole story is the Young Bucks don't want to face FTR. They screw them over in that match against Top Flight because they didn't want to face them because literally they've lost to them twice in a row. So you lose that history, right? Now you got Young Bucks versus Top Flight. You make it look like Top Flight's going to win.
You know, Top Flight, last time the Young Bucks and Top Flight faced each other in a pure tag team match, Top Flight won.
There you go. So now you have the Young Bucks and Top Flight. Young Bucks do the double knees. They do all the screwy shit, and they beat Top Flight. Now you have two things. Top Flight trying to get against the Young Bucks. It's one angle that's coming up. And now you have FTR. You set them up. They've lost again. Now you set them up to chase the Young Bucks eventually, and maybe you do it at All In, or you do it whatever you want to do it, but you build to the FTR chasing down the Young Bucks. And now when you finally do the Young Bucks and FTR, it is much bigger match. But I don't do Young Bucks and FTR in the finals if it's me.
You know what? That direction of saying the Young Bucks don't want to face FTR, it matches. So there's two things I like about that. One, it builds up FTR. There's a few things actually. I'm gonna run down a few things I like about that because I really like that suggestion. One, it makes the eventual match bigger, and gives FTR like something to fight against, right? Like something to build up to. I was talking about a mountain that they've got to climb. That gives them something to chase after, right? But two, it leans into what the narrative around the Young Bucks is with certain areas of the community who just don't like the Young Bucks, right? Like they could do anything, and what they do will be torn down and ripped to shreds and taken in bad faith by certain elements of the pro wrestling community because of who they are, because of things they've done in the past. It leans into that, them saying, oh, we don't want to face FTR. It leans into the narrative that is around them and the people that are around them. And also, even more so, their current characters and trajectory, they're doing a lot of the stuff where they're playing with what happened with CM Punk, and them not wanting to face FTR is something that happened. Like, they didn't want to face CM Punk. CM Punk wanted to face them. They didn't want to face him. They wanted to wait. They were doing things. They were saying, well, I don't know, depending who you believe, they weren't showing up to meetings that were scheduled or whatever. I don't give a whole lot of thing to those rumors. And personally, like, I think they're within their rights to say, I don't want to be in a ring with someone who assaulted me. But at the same time, that is a narrative that exists, and it's a narrative that people believe, and it's a narrative that people will buy into. And people who love the Young Bucks being shitheads, like people who love the Young Bucks will boo them being shitheads because they love seeing them being little shitheads, and them screwing over FTR will like actually make them happy and that would be something that they would enjoy to watch out of a little bit of spite, but also because they just enjoy, you know, like Young Bucks fans enjoy watching the Young Bucks being the true shitheads that they can be. You know, like just like they loved watching them super kick Candice LeRae in the face in PWG all those years with a tack covered Air Jordan, you know, like a tack covered sneaker. We love watching them do that sort of stuff, and that would play into it. So Floyd, I love your pitch there. I'm so glad you brought it up. I love that pitch for so many reasons.
Yes, and it's just like FTR and Young Bucks isn't, you know, it should never be a throwaway match. I mean generational tag teams. It should never be a throwaway match. And I think putting Top Flight in the big spot in a pay-per-view against the Young Bucks, who, you know what they do, they make people look amazing. That's what they do. I think it's a big spot for Top Flight, and it gives a fresh, even though they fought recently, you know, fought before, it's more of a fresh matchup. You can always do Young Bucks and FTR. You can always do Young Bucks and FTR. Top Flight and Young Bucks at Dynasty, that's what I'm talking about.
Yep. And that's just a classic. The more I think about it, the more I love this angle. That's like such a classic heel, classic wrestling angle, right? Like the heel is doing everything they can to avoid facing the surging babyface who the crowd's getting behind because they want to see the surging babyface get to it. Like you could put them in a cage and you know that these guys would love to be in a cage together at some point. And then that would differentiate it from the previous matches they've had as well. Or, you know, you could even do one of my favorite, if they screw over enough people, they could do like a lumberjack match. And one of my favorite lumberjack matches was when Rollins and Ambrose faced each other. And it was like, we're going to have a wall of humans who want us to tear each other apart because we screwed them over. Like you could have a, you know, like this group of faces who are just like want to get these entitled EVPs. They want them to get their comeuppance. And so they're motivated to like force the Young Bucks to finally have this fight with FTR. There's so much you could do with it. I love it, Floyd. Yes. It's brilliant. I think what we've suggested will happen will probably happen. But man, if you've got the pencil, that's a great suggestion there.
Yeah, because I think even after that, you know, FTR is like, we got screwed by the Young Bucks, and they go to challenge, and he's like, Young Bucks is like, you can't even beat Mox and Claudio, and now you add another.
They weren't in this tournament.
Yes, like they were the only reason
you in the top. They'll
be like, the only reason you got as far as you did because Mox and Claudio wasn't in there, and now you set up for them to finish the Mox and Claudio and FTR feud before FTR can even get to the Young Bucks, dude. There you go.
Yep.
But again, I mean, I understand. The pay-per-view is called Dynasty. Who are the dynasties in tag team wrestling right now? FTR and Young Bucks. They are the dynasties of tag team wrestling.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Right now. So literally, by the subject of the pay-per-view, they make the most sense, but it's the last thing I would do. It's the last thing I would do. I think what's best for AEW, again, this is me thinking past my fandom, is the Young Bucks being the tag team champions right now. I think the Young Bucks are what the tag team division needs right now. Them being shitty heels and a team eventually beating them. And again, I'm not even picking the team, whoever it is, whoever you decide on. Hell, you could have Lucha Bros after their healthy comeback and do it. It doesn't matter. It's just, the best matchups are the Young Bucks versus the other teams. The Young Bucks versus Top Flight. The Young Bucks versus FTR. The Young Bucks versus the Infantry. You know, whoever you want to do, it just means more with the Young Bucks in there right now. Because FTR, on purpose or not on purpose, aren't hot right now. They're just not. But the Young Bucks are killing it with their character work right now. I love them being shitty heels. You know, I hate them. And that means I love them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. But having FTR as, you know, the surging faces, you need to have a surging face, because that's one of the things that you know, you can have a heel, but at a certain point you need to know who is the surging face that, you know, the crowd can get behind. Because you look at the good runs, you know, like Kenny Omega had Adam Page to sort of go, you know, like the Four Horsemen had Dusty, who was the surging face that they would try and foil, but the crowd would ultimately, the crowd would like get behind this thing. And you look at, say, the times when having just a dominant heel faction ruling at the top of a division for a long time hasn't worked is when it's not been so obvious. Like, you look at MJF last year, you know, like he turned face in the end, but I think one of the issues that there was there wasn't an obvious face to bring him down at the end of it all. Then, or you look at, say, the Bloodline, the Bloodline was, Roman Reigns' work was critically acclaimed for a while, but it wasn't hot until you had Sami Zayn, until you had Cody Rhodes being these faces for the audience to get behind in the face of such a dominant heel. And yeah, I think FTR would be, you're saying that the tag division, it's best for the Young Bucks to be the champions of that, and I agree, but I think it's also best for FTR to be chasing after that and having a sniff of it every now and again, because that way you've got, not only do you have someone for the crowd to cheer against, you've got someone for the crowd to cheer for.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, honestly, I think
great suggestion, Floyd. Great suggestion.
I think we just booked it, you know, just fix it. Whatever you had planned, fix it. Go in, TK,
yep, TK,
call them in the room and say, okay, Floyd called an audible, you know,
get a text.
Blame me. Say, hey, look at Dax and Cash and be like, your boy is the one that did this to you. Okay.
Yep. Will Washington, we know you're in the room with them. We know you listen to Social Suplex. You just got to get the texture out, mate. You just got to fix this.
Yes. yeah. I mean, hey, you know, you got to get the job done. You got to do what's best for business. Yeah. I'm telling you, I'm trying to make you some more money.
You got to DM that one to Dax, Floyd. You got to DM it to him. You got to be like, look, mate,
you got to take the long term. You got to lose. Okay. It's time to take that L. Now, so we get to the next thing on here, as we talked about the overall preview, is the review of the match. The match we saw, we had Buddy Murphy and Buddy Matthews. I'm sorry, I called him his old name, and Brody King against the Infantry. And the Infantry, they come out in these pink camouflage, and Carly Bravo has the blow up. I thought that gear looked good. Pink and camouflage is not something I would necessarily put together. They did it and they made it work, so I thought that was cool. And then, you know,
my wife has a saying, pink and green should not be seen unless there's something in between, but you know what, they did make it work.
They made it work. They were looking good. I would have never put that together, pink and camouflage, ever. But it worked for them. And they come out, and earlier in the night, we'll talk about like all this stuff, but early in the night, Julia Hart beat Trisha Dora in a house rules match, and the rule was whoever won couldn't accompany their team. So Julia Hart comes out. If you didn't know, Trisha Dora is in the Infantry with Carly Bravo and Sean Dean. So Julia Hart comes out with House of Black, and they're waiting in the ring, and then the Infantry comes out, so they're already coming out at a disadvantage. And then they get in the ring, and you know, House of Black immediately attacks them before the match even starts. And, you know, and seriously, like, the bell rings, they're down, the bell rings, they say, oh, we can go, boom, hit the finisher. You like, damn, this is over already. And I think they hit it on Sean. I don't listen to this part. I just know someone got hit with it and the other one saved him, right? And then and it was like 5 minutes into the match. When did you really have the? I don't. You watched it later, so. But when you were watching the match, did you watch it live or did you watch it, you know, late?
I always watch Collision late. Collision happens on a Sunday during the day for me, which is a big family day. So I watch it on Sunday night, most likely. So
you were spoiled at this point, correct?
Well, I was spoiled when they put the Rampage bracket out.
No. I was saying you were.
No, I wasn't actually spoiled as to the result. I specifically watched it unspoiled.
Okay, so at what point during the match? Because at this point, after they hit the finish and they kick out, I was like, I think the infantry is going to win this match. At what point did you think, oh, the infantry is going to win?
Well, I suspected they would win the whole time, but I was just like, how after this? Because, I mean, the House of Black. Even though, as I said, they put out the equivalent of the Job Squad in the House of Black. Even the Job Squad in the House of Black look bloody intimidating. Like, they are two big fellas in Buddy Matthews. And don't worry, I called him Buddy Murphy all last podcast as well, Floyd. So you're in fine company there. But yeah, Buddy Matthews and Brody King are two big dudes, and they know how to use their size. Like, particularly Brody King, he always looks so big and so intimidating. When he like does the barking, I struggle to put words to it, because it's a feeling you get, right? Like, it's not it's a vibe you get. It's the verisimilitude of the way they present themselves. It's so intimidating. It feels big. It feels menacing. It feels intimidating, particularly Brody King with the, you know, he's so big, the tattoos, the beard, the slicked back hair. His body language is so strong. They were putting on such a dominant performance. You're like, how are these guys going to beat them? And there was this great camera angle after the bell had rung and they'd started the match. There was this great camera angle from the faces corner that was showing, I think it was Dean reaching out, or maybe it was one of them was in there getting beaten up, and you could see his partner reaching out, and the shot was from the corner. So you could see it from the partner's perspective, trying to reach out. And in the foreground, you could see the hand reaching out. And then in the background, how far away and how big Brody King and Buddy Matthews looked beating up the person who was the legal man in the ring. It was a great shot. And I hope they use it again in this tag team tournament, because it really just emphasized how far away from it they were. And look, this match wasn't helped by when they sort of doubled up on the hot tag, where they like, it's like they did the hot tag, but they realized that the ad break hadn't finished yet. So then they did the hot tag again. And Sean Dean, who'd just been getting beaten up, was then suddenly fresh as a daisy. And then he stuffed up his top rope move, which was a bit of a shame, because they'd built the hot tag so well with that camera angle and with how dominating the House of Black had been. But then they, as I said, they doubled up on doing the hot tag because I think they mistimed it a little bit. And Sean Dean then stuffed it up.
Sean Dean, the upset kid, is 4-0 on TV.
Really?
Yeah. He's beaten MJF twice, Sean Spears once, and now he's beaten the House of Black as a member of a tag team. This is what he does. He upsets people.
He loses up.
Yes. So, yeah, I mean, there was the table spot where they got pile drive through the table, and it was just like, man, this is terrible. They're literally getting their ass kicked. They got very little offense in this match, and in the end, it was Buddy Matthews on the top, and out of nowhere comes Mark Briscoe, who throws a chair right into Buddy Matthews' face. And then I believe it was Carly Bravo who laid on top and got the pin. I might have mixed them up. Again, I'm not reading a review. I'm just going from memory. So if you're like, oh man, he keeps mixing them up, it's because I didn't look it up before. And so yeah, in an upset victory, the infantry wins. And yeah, I was a little shocked. I thought this was a solid match, but I did not think it did anything to build the infantry as a threat to beat FTR.
That sucked about it. That really sucked about it.
I would have liked, because I liked the infantry's finisher. I would have liked them to hit the boot camp, but to hit the boot camp requires two people, and one was still dead from going to the table, so you really couldn't do that. But I would like to maybe do a splash, an elbow or something, but he just kind of laid on him and took the win, and it just felt really flukish. So it's like, oh, you know. Mm. But then, I don't know if you saw this, they cut a promo after the match, and they talked about, you know, being from the streets. You know, they said this match sometimes is not all about winning. It's not all about dominating. It's just about surviving. They said they're from the streets. They survived that. They went to war. They survived that. And tonight in that match, they survived that. And I was just like, oh, my God, they just twisted this whole they barely won thing and made it this triumph thing. And I was just like, okay. And they do it well because they're a very great promo team and they just have this natural charisma about them. And Carly Bravo, he's going away, and then Trisha Dora comes and hugs him, and Carly Bravo says, FTR, we coming for you. And it was a shout out to Booker T back in the day. If you ever seen the video with Booker T telling Hulk Hogan he was coming for him, he's like, FTR, we coming for you. And then Sean Dean cut him off. It was beautifully done. I really, really like the infantry. I saw them, you know, I've seen them on ROH several times. I mean, all over the last year, because that's where they mostly work. But then I went and saw them at an indie show in North Carolina, and I mean, man, the crowd was like all about them. And they just have that natural. They can come out there, whether you know them or not, whether you're familiar or not, you get them and let them do their thing, they're going to get you behind them. So I really do like that energy. And I would not be upset with them upsetting FTR next week.
Yeah, well, look, I agree with everything you just said about the infantry. They're exciting. They're charismatic. They do have a great style, even though they didn't really get to show it off here. And when they did, as I said, like Sean Dean slipped, and you know, that can happen to anyone. I mean, it happened to Matt Sydal, right? Like if Matt Sydal can slip off the top rope, then anyone can. And it's just something that can happen. But you're right about the charisma, and they are a team that, you know, they could be a great little chasing face tag team for the eventual winners of this tournament down the line. Yeah. I'd like to talk about House of Black, because
yes,
the knock on House of Black, right, is that they are a team that is very politically motivated in the way they do things. And they are sometimes bordering on difficult to work with. Now, I don't know anything about that. I know nothing more than anyone else does who, you know, sees rumors, but it's hard to not watch a match like this, right, and think about it cynically and see it through the eyes of them going, well, if you're going to make us lose to these guys, then we're going to take 95% of the offense, and the only reason we're going to lose is because we chose to pull up the shoulder, because you saw Buddy Matthews, they hit the finisher, they pulled up and he pulled up the shoulder because he wanted to continue to inflict more pain and more punishment. And then Mark Briscoe comes out, who, to be fair, they've, you know, had an ongoing rivalry with this year. But like, who does that benefit? Everyone who watches AEW sees through this shit so clearly. Like it actively drew me out of the match, particularly when it ended that way, that it was just so one-sided, and sure, the infantry got the win, but it just felt like you could see the politics, you could see the, you know, the backstage machinations of it all, and that is AEW at its absolute worst. And as I said, I like this team. They've got good chemistry together. They've got an incredible look and an incredible aesthetic in ring. Like, it's hard to fault them, and their body language in particular is so strong, but they've just got this thing about them where they just they, it's hard to not watch them and see this ick from how they are backstage. And you just want to be like, you know, do, you know, losing is actually a good thing in AEW. The guys who, who's the guy that's been most recently elevated? Swerve Strickland. You know how he did that? He did that by taking the L's when it needed to happen and making his opponents look really good when it needed to happen. Like, you know, he helped make the Acclaim, right? Like, and that was obviously a chip on his shoulder. Then he went to singles and he helped make Orange Cassidy look great through losing. Then he looked, made Christian look great through make Darby Allin and Sting look great through losing. Like, that's how you actually progress forward in this company and how you also get, build investment with the fans. Because if the fans see you playing ball, doing the stories and, you know, like doing things well politically, then I'm not sure how to phrase it correctly.
Playing ball, you know, being a good teammate.
Playing ball correctly.
Yes. Yeah. Like you're being a good teammate.
Not only does that like, correct. Yeah. Being a good teammate. Correct. That builds equity with the fans. It probably makes the people backstage like you more. And it's just impossible to watch this team, House of Black, who, as I said, I love, have so many positives for them. It's impossible to see them do something like have a match like this and not just see the backstage machinations and want to tear your hair out going like, you guys could be doing so much more. Like, you would lose nothing by giving the infantry 20% of the offense in this and then taking, you know, an out of nowhere victory, like at least giving them something in this match, but they got next to nothing. And yeah, like you're right. The infantry, thankfully, they're charismatic. They could get it back on the mic. And FTR won't make that same mistake because for all their faults, FTR are not like that. They won't make that mistake. They'll make the infantry look great. And they'll probably have a great match with them. And even if the infantry lose that, they'll look good for how they've taken the fight to FTR.
Absolutely. I mean, and like I said, I just, like, that's the whole thing. It's just, Wrestling is just like any other TV show, any other movie. Somebody has to look good, somebody has to look bad. But in the difference in wrestling is you can look good in a loss. You can look, I'm like, Takeshita has been doing it for how long? You know, yeah. Like he's been looking amazing
since he started. Like, he beat Kenny Omega, but still,
yeah, he's like one of my favorite wrestlers in the company. And like, he loses a lot of big matches. You know, he went through this thing where he just like literally lost to everybody. You know, and it's just like, look, if you look at it through those eyes, you know, he, it works. You know, so I don't know,
the blueprint is Swerve.
Yes. I've just seen it and I try not to get caught up in it. I'm just like, because, you know, of course, for a while, my team was, the name was thrown around as someone who didn't lose. And I'm like, I'm sitting there watching and I'm like, they literally lose all the time. So I'm very confused how they got this, note. But I don't know. I do think as a wrestler, you should protect your character. I do. I do. And it's like, but there's a protecting your character, you know, and then there's like being unpleasant, you know, and I think there's a fine line between that. I don't work in the industry, so I cannot tell you what that line is. But I can tell you, don't let that rumor come out to you, because these rumors can turn a fan base against you, you know? So don't become
unpleasant. Are they actually protecting their character though? Like, are they actually protect? Because what was the, like, they look so dumb. They lost somehow. How did they lose that match after, like, taking 95% of the offense? Like, they're so dumb. Is that their character, right? Like, they're just too dumb to like, ever win a match?
Overconfident, like, sir.
It's not actually protect. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, they lost in, like, the flukiest way. So, if you're looking at that, you know, they're actually better than the infantry. It's just they screwed themselves over. I don't know. It happens in sports, you know, where the best team in sports doesn't always win, you know, because they might not be playing 100%. Again, I like the political side of it. I do my best not to dance on that side because I don't work in it. And I don't want anybody to come into, like, my world, which is IT, and be like, this is how you should be. You know what I mean? Because it's like, you until you work it, you don't know how it should be. So I don't know. I don't know the details of everything that they do in the back, but I do want to say this. You know, if they go in that match, they do a 50-50 match, they hit all their stuff or whatever, and, you know, Mark Briscoe still comes out at the end, still does the same thing, Infantry looks stronger, and it doesn't make the House of Black look any weaker by having a 50-50 match. And so I'll
not
say
even 50, as I said, like 60-40,
yeah,
just 60, let them win,
yeah, like
by a way that's not them die like flopping onto anyway,
yeah. And you got,
we've labored on that point,
yes,
for a long time,
yeah. So but yeah, so I don't think, and I don't know if I missed it, did they announce what tag team match we're getting on Dynamite, or if we're getting a tag team match on Dynamite?
You'd have to assume we will, but I don't know what it'll be. My guess would be Private Party versus one of the ones on the Young Bucks side. So Private Party versus the Young Bucks, or the Undisputed Kingdom versus the Best Friends.
We're getting the other wild.
Oh, wait, no, Best Friends have still got to do their wild card. Yeah.
Yes, that's going to be on Rampage. It's going to be, yeah, I'm seeing the preview here. It's going to be the Best Friends versus the Don Callis family, and that's going to be on Rampage. Now, you might think, oh, they're only doing, because there is no Collision this week because of the NCAA tournament. But you're thinking, oh, well, shouldn't they be having more matches? Well, because they only have a few matches and there's like a month to the show, they can take their time putting the matches out. They literally only have to do like one match a show. So it really isn't.
Well,
that
one of the reasons I thought they were going to be doing a big tournament was because they announced it so far out of the pay per view, and I was like, "Well, they've got a lot of weeks to fill up. They're going to be, you know, if they're doing two or three matches a week, they're going to need to have a lot more matches." But obviously, they're taking their time.
Yeah, because you think about it, it's like 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. After this week, yeah, there's only three more matches each side until you get to the final. So, yeah, they can nice and spread them out and give them time. And, you know, because it's on Rampage, it might get a little more time than a match usually has. Because that's where they're going to have to get, like, this tournament is going to be, it's all about match quality now, you know. Because you didn't come out with a great tournament, now you have to at least have an amazing in-ring tournament. You know what I mean? Yeah, yep. So you got to make up for it somewhere.
You got to have something for people to talk about and hang their hat on with the tournament.
So, like, you got to have, like, all those matches need to be bangers. So, but that was, I am actually looking forward to Kyle Fletcher. He's in Aussie Open, so he's one of the better tag team wrestlers in the world. You got Trent, who is in the Best Friends. He's a good tag team wrestler. Him and OC have tagged up together before. Fletcher and Hobbs, I think they've tagged up together. I don't know if they've done a 2-on-2 match. I think they might have had a squash match or something. But they're very new to tagging with each other. But you got four very talented people. They're going to put on an amazing match. And they've been protecting Will Hobbs. Like, so he's going to look strong. He's going to throw people around. It's going to be amazing. You know, you got to see how's Callis going to play into it. How's Don Callis going to play into it? Is Rocky Romero going to be able to balance out Don Callis? So it should be a fun match.
Yeah, you think Hobbs will take sort of the Mark Davis role, and Kyle Fletcher will do the majority of the working that's going on in that match on the Best Friends, Don Callis family side. And yeah, look, Trent and Orange Cassidy have both got, you know, long-term, they've been in plenty of tag matches in their time together and separately. It's the kind of thing where I'm pretty comfortable in saying what it's going to be like. I'm really looking forward to seeing Orange Cassidy and Kyle Fletcher face off, though. I think that'll be really interesting because Kyle Fletcher is really smart with the way that he does his counters. There was a clip going around Twitter which showed how he approached Kenny Omega and how he approached Will Ospreay, and that was taking advantage of their signature offense. And OC is someone who's got some pretty well-known signature offense, and Kyle Fletcher is really good at countering that sort of thing. So I'm curious to see what sorts of sequences those two can put in together, you know, when like Orange Cassidy goes for Slumdog Millionaire or when he goes for the Superman punch, and seeing how Kyle Fletcher moves to take advantage of those movements that he knows coming.
Yeah, and that and then when Will Hobbs and Orange Cassidy have to go against each other, the power Will Hobbs, how they're going to counter the power of Will Hobbs matching up. But my guess would be
is that Trent is going to get thrown about quite a bit, because Trent is a psycho and he just likes to get thrown about and hurt a lot. So that would be my guess is how things are going to be, that Will Hobbs is going to put Trent through the announce desk, possibly through a guardrail, probably something else as well. that's how that's going to go.
That is definitely how that's going to go. But I think we hit everything. We hit all our points, right?
We have, yes, we have, and we've gone for a decent amount of time. We didn't have as much to work with as we thought we would, but we've managed to get some stuff done.
So at the end of the show, we told you about something, and we're going to deliver. This is Sam's going to take over this. Give us the good.
Yeah. So look, what I thought would be fun was, because last week we had a lot of fun kind of pitching some teams to one another, and we didn't end up getting the big, glorious tournament that we wanted. But what I thought would be fun would be, let's throw together two random singles guys. So I've got a AEW randomizer spinning wheel thing here. Throw together two wrestlers. They become a tag team, and you plot their position in this tournament. You remove one of the teams and you plot their position into the tournament and what their story is going to be like. So I'll spin the wheel for you, Floyd. I'll give you your two wrestlers, and then you can choose how they fit into it. So the first one I'm spinning, spin. So it's come up with, your first wrestler is, it's the S's, Sean Spears. Should we spin again?
yes, because
this roster thing might not have been updated in the last few months, potentially.
Yes, it might not have been.
So in the A's this time, Aaron Solo. So you've got Aaron Solo as your first person in your team. So you get thinking about how you can use Aaron Solo. Aaron Solo. Oh, man, this is so good. Aaron Solo and Pac. So that's going to be your two tag teams. So how would Aaron Solo and Pac work as a dynamic? What would that look like as a tag team? And how would you fit them into the tournament? If you're not ready to go, if you want to think about it a little bit more, I will just add that they actually don't look too dissimilar. You know, they've both got, I'd say they've got slightly different body types, but they've both got that long black hair. And I think Aaron Solo could probably grow a beard if he wanted. So Floyd, have you got any ideas? And of course, this is putting you on the spot. So
no,
where would you fit to this bracket, and how would they go? How far would they get in this tournament?
So Aaron Solo and Pac. Okay. First of all, the dynamic would be that Pac is completely bullying the crap out of Aaron Solo. Aaron Solo doesn't really want to tag with Pac. He doesn't really want to tag with Pac, but Tony Khan told Pac the only way he could be in the tournament is if he found a partner, and he was just walking about and he saw Aaron Solo and he's like, okay, you're my partner now. So Aaron Solo doesn't want to be tag partners with Pac because he's terrified of Pac, and he's sure if he loses, Pac is going to beat him up. So yeah, so that's the whole thing. Over the week or so, I'm doing like Twitter things about how Aaron Solo is trying to avoid Pac, and he is just terrified that he has to team up against him. So in this case, I would probably, in the tournament, I would probably have them take the spot of the House of Black. So they would go against the infantry, right? And then they would have went against the infantry. And like Pac is, you know, he's Pac. He's one of the best wrestlers in the world. So he's just wrestling the infantry on his own, right? And he's like kicking, he's kicking their ass, right? And he's going back and forth, kicking their ass, and then kicking their ass. And it was like, so he's going for the Black Arrow, and of course, Sean Dean and gets out the way, and Carly Rodwell starts double teaming him. And in an accident, Pac stumbles and accidentally tags Aaron Solo. And Pac is staring at Aaron Solo. Aaron Solo's like, no, I don't want to get in the ring. And then Aaron Solo jumps in the ring, and he's a house of fire, and he's taking out the infantry. He's like, oh, yeah. And he's like, every time he hits a move, he's jumping up and down because this is the greatest thing ever, because he didn't even think he could do it. And then so he looks like he's about to win, and Pac is like pissed off. So he's about to hit a move, and he tags himself in. And Aaron's like, oh, why are you tagging him in? And then Pac and Aaron Solo start yelling at each other. And then a Carly Bravo comes behind Pac, rolls him up, and pins him. And now you have a feud where Pac is basically pissed at Aaron Solo because he cost him the match.
I love it. I love it. And he's probably pissed at the infantry as well. Yes. Because they just beat him.
Yes. So he hates everybody. So Pac is just as pissed off and just as much of a bastard as he was before. As he was before, and he hates everybody as much.
I've got to say, I really did enjoy seeing. Actually, they were both on Collision this week, funnily enough.
Yes. Yes.
They were against each other.
They were against each other.
This randomized thing worked quite well. Imagine if after that they went into the tag team tournament.
Yes.
That's like their next move. Anyway, that was quite good. I like that. I like that flirt. I'm going to struggle to match you there, particularly on a spot. So my first spin, I've just given myself a spin. Actually, did you have anything more to say about
it? I was going to say it ended up working because you gave me someone hilariously bad. Aaron Solo. Yep. So so that was a perfect balance for what I needed, you know.
Yeah. And it was good. It was good seeing Pac back on. And it's a good, you've got a good combination of like the serious dominant badass dude and then the hapless lackey.
Yes. That always works. That is just a combination that always works.
Okay, well, my first spin. Oh my goodness. Guess who I got? Buddy Matthews.
Buddy Matthews.
I got my fellow Australian, Buddy Matthews, who I've just, you know, spent time ripping a new one. So how would I book him better with partnering with? Oh, my goodness. No, I'm going to re-spin because it just came up with Pac.
That would be a pretty formidable tag team, though.
It would be, but I want to have different people, so I want... Okay, Buddy Matthews and Matt Jackson. Okay, gosh, this is not going to be easy. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say I'm going to replace the Young Bucks with Matt. I've got to replace the Young Bucks, right? So, like, Matt Jackson can't wrestle in this thing twice.
So Nick sprained his ankle, and, you know, Buddy Matthews steps in.
Yes, somehow they have a scene, right, where they like want Kenny Omega back, but Kenny Omega can't get back, so they're like, well, I guess we'll get the next best thing, and in walks Buddy Matthews.
Yes. Yes.
So they go up against so what's the dynamic like between these guys? Well, look, essentially I'm just going to have Buddy Matthews do all the Kenny Omega spots. So it's going to be basically like Kenny Omega wish Kenny Omega again tagging with Matt Jackson. Now, I've got to pull up my in thinking through all this, I've forgotten who the Young Bucks go up against in this tournament. So their first round match is against Private Party. And look, what I'm going to do is I'm going to say that initially these guys are not on the same spot. So they're trying to do the classic spots that the Young Bucks would do with Kenny Omega. So, you know, like the kicks in the corner, the more bang for your buck, where Matt does the more bang for your buck and then Kenny Omega does the you can't escape sort of flip off the top. But the timing just isn't lining up. But they manage, because they're class, they manage to get the win by just doing it. I think Buddy Matthews does the one winged angel at the end to beat Private Party. And then they move into the second round against, we'll say, they've got to be against the best friends in this case. And I would say what happens in this case is you see a grudging respect sort of building between Matt Jackson and Buddy Matthews as they start to get on the same page. But unfortunately, because the best friends know Matt Jackson, they manage to get in his head and ruin this budding friendship that he's got with Buddy. And the best friends and OC take the win in that circumstance to go on to the finals. And this budding team by Buddy Matthews and Matt Jackson doesn't manage to get the job done. But you know what it does do? It brings back Kenny Omega to set up a match between Kenny Omega and Buddy Matthews. So that would be the silver lining that comes out of that pairing with Kenny Omega returning and being like, what the hell, Matt? What the hell, Matt?
That match would be an absolute banger, Kenny Omega versus Buddy Matthews. That would be a great match. But
and by having those two teams, I've just realized I've said Matthew and Buddy and
yes,
many times.
Their team is Buddy Matthew. That's what their team name is.
Buddy, Buddy Matthew Jackson.
Yes. That would be very entertaining because Buddy Matthews is one of those people that, you know, he is truly underrated. You know, he is less like, he's a very talented wrestler. He's a very, very talented wrestler. I just remember his stuff in 205 Live was some of like my favorite,
so good.
Some of my favorite stuff. And it was just like, he was like one of the first victims of the deep AEW roster. Like, the roster's so deep. It's like, oh, I want to push Buddy Matthews. Well, who do you push him over? I mean, the roster is so deep. So it's I even say this, like, Buddy, I'm happy he's in AEW, but he would almost benefit from being in somewhere like Impact, where he would be more of the featured guy because he's so good. He's so good at wrestling. But again, in AEW, he's going to get compared to Kenny Omega all the time. So,
or like the classic thing is to say, send him to New Japan. And like, I think we underestimate like how big of a thing that is to be like, well, just why don't you just take your whole life that you've developed with your you know, lovely wife to be or wife Rhea Ripley and just move to Japan or spend half your year in Japan. But man, he would benefit so much from the way that New Japan film things, particularly with how big he is now, because he is huge now. Like he's much bigger than Kenny Omega now. He is an absolute Adonis in terms of his physique, but he's still got that explosiveness. And you know, the way that they do promos, I think, would suit him better in New Japan. Because it's a fallacy that they don't do promos in New Japan and that it's all about the work rate. It's still about the characters. They're still doing promos and things like that. It's just done differently in that post-stage, you know, press conference setup. And also there's heaps of Aussies in Japan, so he wouldn't sound as different as well, which I think is I don't know how you feel about it, Flu, but whenever I hear an Australian speaking in wrestling, I always think they sound odd. And not in a good way. Like, I don't know, when I hear someone like Will Ospreay, it sounds different, but in a good way. When I hear an Australian speak, it never sounds good it never sounds different in a good way. But in New Japan, it wouldn't feel as odd because there's other Australians there.
So you heard it here first from an Australian. Australians may look tough, but they do not sound tough.
I don't know. How do you feel? Like, I'm not the target audience here. Like,
no, I mean,
how do you feel about Australian?
Honestly, it's like, I can honestly say it's kind of like anybody with a high voice, you know, and the difference between a lot in the pitch and tones of voices as far as Australians versus, you know, UK and American, y'all voices tend to be a little higher. So, you know, as far as American, it is time. Kind of harder to take that seriously, but it is. I mean, now, I mean, me being a fan, big fan of Aussie Open and then Rhea Ripley and all those Australians, I'm honestly just kind of used to it. So it doesn't sound any different to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Even though I'm around the Aussie accent 24/7, when I hear it in an American wrestling context, it just smacks me in the face. And maybe it's partly also like my own cultural cringe. We've got Australians have that. We've got that British sort of self-deprecation where we kind of there's a part of us that sort of cringe at our own culture being put out there, and you know we cringe at ourselves a little bit when we see ourselves in a spotlight, it's possibly a part of that. Anyway, we've gone wildly off track, but yeah, look, Buddy Matthews, great wrestler, would do fantastically in New Japan. I think you're dead right that the depth of AEW has, you know, made it difficult for someone like him to rise up where he may otherwise. You know, he's got he's got the attributes that you'd need, but you know, who are you going to not have? Are you going to not put Takeshita on? He's already struggling, and of course he's going to be, you know, in line ahead of Buddy Matthews, but like, you know, he's already struggling to get airtime.
And that's what I say to people. It's like when he's like, oh, this person should get pushed, I'm like, oh, that's great, so who are you not pushing? Who are you taking away? Because that's the question every booker has to answer. You know what I mean? It's not just like, oh, that's my guy. It's like, okay, well, who's he beating? You know, it's like, so, no, it's a tough question in wrestling. But I really did enjoy this. I think we should bring the randomizer back in another episode.
We can do that. Yep.
Yeah, because that would be completely fun. But it's going to be like, I from what I understand, we're only going to have one match to review next week. Because there's
full disclosure, if this is going to make a repeat visit, I did somewhat steal this from the Tunnel Talk girls who do this thing, but with with two wrestlers going on a date and how that's going to be. So, a little bit different, but I did somewhat steal this idea.
Yes, all great ideas were stolen. We actually had a big conversation about that with about the greatest factions of all time and, you know, the impact that they had on wrestling. So it's fun. Yeah, I mean, like, there's nothing new under the sun. You know what I mean? It's like...
Indeed.
Yeah, like, so... But can you make it feel... a little more different enough from the original idea that it feels fresh? That's the idea. That's what everything is, you know? So, yeah, that makes sense. Well, I think we're done. I think you need some sleep. You need to go get some sleep. I need some sleep, which is weird because you're in Australia and I'm in America, but this is both the end of our day. I'm going to bed and you're going to bed about the same time. Man, so, Sir Sam, I thank you. Do you have anything you would like to leave the listeners with?
Nothing in particular. Just, if you have thought, if anything we've said has, pricked your interest or you felt like you want to reply, feel free to hit me up on Twitter. Again, that's @Sir_Samuel, or join the Discord. You can chat to us in the All Things Elite, the All Things Elite part of the Discord, or you can just post in the AEW part. I generally flicker in there and lurk and chat a little bit in there. Or, you know, also please rate us on Spotify, on iTunes, wherever you are. Give us the big five if you think we're worth it. Of course we're worth it, Floyd. We are absolutely worth 5 stars. Give us the big five. Nothing more to say beyond that. Just I hope everyone enjoys their week, has a great week, enjoys AEW, and yeah, hopefully we're able to put the negativity of the, you know, the anticipation we had for this tournament behind us and, you know, watch it for what it actually is, even though it might not necessarily be what we wanted.
Dude, this was a fun episode. It did not start that great, you know, as far as us, you know, but I think we came at it from a critical eye, and we gave suggestions on how to improve. We didn't just bitch. I think that's a little different than what we gave suggestions on how to improve. I mean, this time it is what it is, but the next time, you know, hopefully someone listens to our stuff and say, oh, maybe we should do it this way, you know, based on that, and which would be great. And, you know, and that's all I hope for, because I am a fan. I want to watch AEW. I watch me and Sam were talking about that earlier. Yep. I watch every AEW show, every minute for minute, every Collision, Rampage, Dynamite. So I don't want to watch something I don't enjoy. So when I say something, it's not because it's like, oh, grr, I'm hate watching. It's because I do want it to get better, because I do enjoy 80% of what goes on in AEW. It's just, like I said, there's some few tweaks here and there that can make things better. So hopefully they tighten it up. So thank you all for listening. I hope we entertained your mind. Thank you for hanging out with us. This will be up Monday afternoon. I'm going to get some sleep before I edit it. So, you know, it's actually a good edit. Thank you for listening. Thank you for keep tuning into all the regular All Things Elite with me and Austin. I thank you, Sir Sam, for joining me. I am having a blast recording with you. So it's actually, even though I do the other show, this is kind of like, because I look at this show a little differently than I do the other show, it's kind of reinvigorated me, got my podcast juices going. So I thank you for that. And again, thank you all for listening. And I will leave you how I always leave you. Whether it is home, work, or school, always do your best to be elite.